Okay, Alexander, let's reverse and go back in time to Monday at the NATO conference in Brussels with a story that not many people are talking about, and that is U.S. President Joe Biden's meeting with Turkish President Erdogan. And the main agenda was the S-400s, the F-35, and from what I understand, Syria and Afghanistan, and not much was accomplished. It looks like Biden came out with a statement. He says, well, you're going to have to ask the Turkish presidents afterwards. And he came out with this very, interesting statement, not saying much and kind of being very mysterious. Okay. And Erdogan has just flat out said, I'm not budging.
He just said,
I'm not doing it. I'm not going to make a move. I'm not changing course with S-400. I'm not changing course with Syria. I'm not changing course with F-35s, with Afghanistan. Nothing. I'm not changing. So what do you make of this meeting?
Well, I think it was a failure for the United States because, of course, Turkey is an extremely important country for the US in the Middle East. And again, they don't seem to understand that pushing the Turks, pushing a man like Erdogan in that kind of way is going to be counterproductive. I'm going to say straightforwardly, I am generally baffled about why this S-400 sale, which is deeply controversial in Russia when it was made, is such an issue. When Erdogan asked the Russians for the S-400, I remember this, there were lots of people in Russia who were saying, this is a very bad idea, we're selling our most advanced air defence system to a NATO country, if we sell it to the Turks, the Americans will be all over it and they'll know its secrets. And I think that was, a lot of people were saying that, that was what was happened. Instead, it's worked out in exactly the opposite way. It's the US has suddenly made this big topic of confrontation between itself and Turkey. And it soured everything else. Now, I say that, of course, the issue with northeast Syria, with the Kurds in Syria, is also going to be an extraordinarily difficult one between the US and Turkey. And one must never overlook that. I mean, for the Turks, anything to do with the Kurds is an existential issue, and you're never going to get much movement from the Turks on this. But in a way, it's the US that has manoeuvred itself into this confrontation. And it's manoeuvred itself into this confrontation over a topic, the S-400 missile system, where it didn't need to. Why couldn't they just have gone ahead and sold Turkey the F-35s? I mean, it's so bizarre to me. Or if they were going to sell the F-35s, all right, say we're not going to sell the F-35s, we'll pay you some compensation and let's be done with it. But no, we've got to make this big issue, this big confrontation, and one of the results is Erdogan is not only conducting increasingly his own foreign policies, but as I discussed in a video in my own channel, he's now taken to actually watering down anti-Russian statements that NATO is issuing to the intense anger and irritation of some NATO officials. So there we are. It's a very strange thing. And again, it does speak of a fundamental failure in US foreign policy and US diplomacy. Does the US do diplomacy anymore? I don't see any sign of it. I mean, I don't see that the Americans take Erdogan or Turkey very seriously. They make demands of him. They don't again talk to him in any meaningful way. Putin may find it an ordeal to do it, but he does do diplomacy with Erdogan. He talks to him. You know, Biden, the Americans don't even seem to do that.
Why did Putin give Erdogan the S-400s? Why doesn't the U.S. just, open up the S-400 box, take a look inside, and figure out how the damn thing works? Are they doing it? And maybe this is just all distractions. I mean, is NATO, is the United States behind the scenes examining the S-400 and taking a look at everything and re-engineering it? I mean, it's such a strange deal, this whole Russia to Turkey S-400, the U.S. upset with the S-400. It doesn't make any sense on either side, the Russian, the Turk, or the U.S.
No, I know it doesn't. I mean, why did Putin do it? There are lots of people who ask this question. And by the way, it needed a direct order from Putin for it to happen. The Russian military were not keen to do it at all. But anyway, it did need a direct order from Putin. There were all sorts of promises obviously given that if the S-400 system was supplied to Turkey, that, you know, it would be kept secure and there'd be Russians keeping an eye on things. But I mean, to what extent you can ever depend on Turkey to honour those sort of commitments, who knows? I think the reason Putin did it is because he is surrounded by people like General Shoigu, who's the defence minister, his own press secretary, Dmitry Peskov, and other people in Russia who still hanker for this idea that one day maybe they can win Turkey over. And if not exactly detach Turkey from NATO, at least make it more cooperative to themselves. And of course, when Putin did provide Turkey with the S-400, it was at the early stages of the Russian intervention in Syria. There'd just been the shooting down a year before of the Russian fighter jet. Then there was the coup. And he may have said to himself, well, this is a good opportunity to seal some kind of an agreement with the Turks that will protect our forces in Syria, and it will mean that we will be able to complete our mission there. So it may have been part of those calculations. But I have to say, I remember at the time how deeply controversial in Russia it was. Now, why are the Turks insisting on it? I think it's now become for them, at least for Erdogan specifically, more than anything else now, an issue of face, having bought the S-400 system from the Russians without, I think, really thinking through its consequences to any great extent. For him to now return it, which is what the Americans are insisting he does, it would be a sign of subservience to the Americans, which he simply cannot bring himself to do. So he clings to this thing because from his point of view, this is the sign of his pride, of his independence, of Turkey's sovereignty. It's become a kind of totemic issue for him. And why the Americans don't just relax about it and say to the Turks, well, you know, all right, you may keep your S-400, but let us have a peek. Well, I can't understand that at all. That I really do find completely baffling. It bewilders me, as I said, that they've wrecked their foreign policy with Turkey, which is such a key partner, by getting themselves involved on such a trivial issue. I just don't understand. You're talking about the Armenian genocide. That is a big issue. That's a historic issue. If you want to cause stress with your relations with Turkey over something like that, I can understand that. If you've got some great strategic game plan in Syria and the Middle East, which involves working with the Kurds, well, I may think that is completely misguided and entirely wrong and ultimately counterproductive, but at least it's a strategy. But getting worked up over a single missile system seems to me, frankly, well, bonkers, to use the English expression.
Yeah. All right. Now let's talk about Afghanistan and wrap it up there. Turkey is offering to guard and operate the Kabul airport after U.S. and NATO forces pull out. Now, NATO has not given an answer to that. They did say that Turkey can play a key role in the region and all of that stuff. But Erdogan did say that following the U.S. decision, and this is a direct quote, following the U.S. decision to withdraw from Afghanistan, Turkey can take up a lot more responsibilities here. What is Erdogan thinking by wanting to get involved in Afghanistan?
Well, I mean, it's a crazy idea. I mean, I think, of course, Erdogan has had a long-standing desire to insert Turkey into Central Asia. And I think that there's perhaps a point where he hasn't perhaps quite understood the demography, because most of the Central Asian states, Uzbekistan, Kyrgyzstan, Kazakhstan, Turkmenistan, speak Turkish languages. I mean, they're culturally quite close to Turkey in some ways, but Afghanistan is completely different. The predominant language there is Persian. or variants of Persian, and it is part of the Persian cultural sphere. So, I mean, inserting Turkish troops into Afghanistan is a recipe for trouble. It's part, I think, again, of Erdogan's enormous grandiosity in his foreign policy. He wants to insert Turkey in everything, establish Turkey as the leading Sunni power, make himself appear not just as the Sultan, if you like, but as the Caliph also. And it's a policy that is counterproductive for Turkey and which is bound to fail because, of course, the Taliban won't want Turkish troops in Kabul. They will want to take over Kabul. That's their agenda.
All right. Interesting. Interesting stuff coming out of that meeting. Not really talked about too much.
No, not talked about at all. But, you know, bear in mind, Turkey has the biggest army in NATO apart from the United States. I'm not saying it's the second military power in NATO. It's not. I mean, it doesn't come close to matching some of the major European powers. And, of course, Britain and France are on a different scale. But Turkey's got an important military. It's an important strategic location. It controls the straits and the access to the Black Sea. It has important bases at Incirlik and elsewhere. It's important to project US power into the Middle East, and it's also important to keep for the United States to keep an eye on what goes on in southeastern Russia, southwestern Russia, and, you know, in Central Asia. You would have thought that the US would make an effort where Turkey is concerned, and they are sort of letting Turkey slip away almost without thinking about it. I find that extremely strange, actually. I mean, it's one of the oddest things about US diplomacy that I know about. And, you know, Erdogan's days may not be, you know, forever. But, you know, I think that what's changed in Turkey during the long period of Erdogan's rule is probably permanent. And if the United States continues to treat Turkey in this way, then you know, I'm not saying it will completely lose Turkey, but it will gradually slip away. And I can't see how that's in American interests.
Yeah. All right. We'll leave it there, guys. Make sure to look for Alexander's channel, my channel, and the Durant's channel on Odyssey, BitChute, SuperU, free speech video platform SuperU, and look for us on our Locals page, and also go to Durant Shop, 10% off when you use the code REALNEWS. All of that information is down below. Take care.